Hey there, God's anointed you by His Holy Spirit to be a prophetic partner with Him, releasing His will in the earth. God can't do it until you say it. God's stirring our hearts to declare His word, His kingdom, His love, His restoration to a broken generation. Hey, this message is leading you on a path to understand what God has for you. Something inside of you is being stirred and released. Keep letting the Holy Spirit awaken things as you listen to this message.
This morning, a couple weeks ago, God gave me a beautiful experience in a dream. And in this dream, He gave me this message. So we're just going to act it out today, has some illustration to it. But it's from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. And my title is Prophesy. So the Bible says in Acts, it'll come to pass in the last days that I will pour my spirit out, says God, on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men see visions. Your old men dream dreams. And so wherever the Holy Spirit's active, there is the agency of prophecy releasing the will of God. So God's going to do something great. Prophesy. God can't do it until you say it. Verse 1 of chapter 37 of the book of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me. Ezekiel speaking in the first voice, talking about the testimony of an encounter that changed his life, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. So my first point to you, my first idea is simply this. I believe in the sovereignty of God, the providence of God. I believe I'm supposed to be right here with you this morning. I believe you're supposed to be in Melbourne. I believe you're supposed to be here. And whatever got you here, I believe that God oversaw, and the overarching engagement, involvement of God is the superior force concerning the direction of your life and your future. I'm glad that you're here. And no matter what things look like, God's got something for you. Melbourne is your promised land. This is your season of breakthrough and destiny. And then Ezekiel said, so I went on a field trip with God, and I was surprised where we ended up. Verse 2 says, then He caused me to pass round all around these, dry bones. And behold, there were very many in an open valley, and it was very dry. So we see the quantity, there's a whole bunch of them, many. And then the quality, they were very dry. And they're in a valley. A valley is a low, flat plain between mountains. And as believers, we have to become expert about overcoming valleys, because life is not a constant mountaintop experience. So in the valley, God teaches us how to prophesy our way up the mountain and into the purpose of God. And He uses the word dry, very dry. And in the Hebrew, it's the word yabesh. And yabesh means something that's withered or very dry. And it means to be ashamed, confused, or discouraged, disappointed. So when I read that, it really excited me, because I understood that God's called us as His people to bring life and grace and healing and love to people that are living under the burden of shame, the cloud of confusion, the heaviness of disappointment. So we are God's answer. We are His hands, His feet, His voice to help a very hurting world. And whether you know it or not, you might be sitting right next to or two seats away from someone who's going through one of the worst seasons of their life. And they're doing their best to press into God and to break through in praise. But today, even today, there are people here that God's going to heal, encourage, and strengthen. Like Pastor Rudy said, this is your breakthrough day. God's Spirit is touching you in such a beautiful way. Verse 3 says this. One more thought. So Ezekiel is brought to this place, and after he gets there, he saw a quick overview. He saw where he was and what he was dealing with, but then God took him on a much more intimate inspection of the realities of the devastation. Now, this is an important point to help believers to not live in a negative theology. Because anybody can see what's wrong, Prophetic people see how to make it right. And the only reason God shows you how wrong something is, the only reason God shows you how bad something is so that he can then show you how good he's going to make it through you. So our job, listen, the gospel's not called the bad news. It's called the good news. And the good news to sinners is their sins are forgiven. Good news to the oppressed is their chains are broken. The good news to the hurting is that by the stripes of the Savior, they're healed. The good news to people that have been disappointed is God has a purpose and plan for their life. And we are the agents of heaven's glorious gospel, ambassadors anointed by God to bring good tidings, good news to a hurting world. Turn to your neighbor and say, prophesy. So he sees how things are. And then the Lord said to him, verse 3, Son of man, can these bones live? God never asked questions because he doesn't know answers. It's always a trick when God asks you a question. But like a good therapist, he's not asking questions to gain information. He's asking questions to give the subject understanding. Understanding what's happening. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel gives a politically correct answer. Lord, you know. And so the Lord said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Verse 4. Prophesy to these dead things. It's never too late for God. It's never too late for God. It's never too late for God to write a good ending to your story. Come on now. As long as you're alive, there's a great scripture in Ecclesiastes. And it says, it's better to be a living dog than a dead lion. And so I just say, rough, rough this morning. That while you're alive, the purpose and plan, the destiny of God for your life remains. There's hope for your future because the God you love never gives up. And don't quit on yourself. Don't quit on him. Don't quit on people. God loves to write good endings. So he said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'm so glad that 13 years ago, or really began 20 years ago, that a young man sitting in the front row had an encounter with God. And God said to him, I want you to start conferences called Planet Shakers. And he obeyed God. And then 12 or 13 years ago, starting Planet Shakers Church. I'm so glad just by a prophetic word from God, this whole movement of churches where millions of lives are being affected happened because one man heard from God a prophetic word about prophesying to his generation. Planet Shakers is a prophetic movement. There's nothing like you, really. So the Lord said, prophesy. O dry bones, hear God's voice. Thus says the Lord God, verse 5, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you will live. I'll put sinews on you, bring flesh on you, cover you with skin and put breath into you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. All of us are in a progressive journey. No matter where you're at, don't worry that everything doesn't happen at once. In this stages of restoration, the bones came together, the muscles came together, then the skin covered it, then breath came into it. No matter where you are, God is progressively advancing your life. Your restoration is going to happen in stages and phases. Your breakthrough the same way. Don't get discouraged that everything doesn't happen at once, but recognize every season has a reason, and God in this season is doing something important in the counsel of his will for your life. And he's going to show you a great outcome if you'll stay in a cooperative faith and obedience with him. So he says, prophesy to the bones. So before Ezekiel prophesied outward, he received the prophetic word inwards. So revelation comes to us so prophecy can flow through us. God shows us things, not just so that we'll know them, but so that we'll do something about them. Will declare his voice, release his will, declare his power, his kingdom in the earth. so he can do something wonderful. He wants to do something. Now, this is an important point. The Lord did not say, Ezekiel saw what was wrong, but his prophetic word was, yea, the Lord would say, you're all dead bones. God does not use prophecy to beat up discouraged people. He uses prophecy to encourage discouraged and broken people. And in your vocabulary with God in prayer, listen to me, don't pray the problem. Pray the promise. God already knows what's wrong. Anybody can see what's wrong. Prophetic people see how to make it right. So when you pray, don't pray the problem. Pray the promise of God. God, you said, as for me and my house, we would serve the Lord. God, you said all my children would be saved. God, you said by your stripes I'm healed. God, you said my business will flourish. God, you said you're ordering my steps. So allow your voice to release to God his will. Now, in the New Testament, there's a great word that has great meaning for us in our partnership with God. And it's the word diastomos. It's the word for two-edged sword. It's used in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Two-edged sword means it's diastomos. Di means two, stomos means mouths. So here's what the Lord showed me. When God speaks to me by revelation out of his word or by his spirit, half of a sword blade is formed. One side of the two-edged sword is formed when revelation comes to me. But when I give my voice to God's word, the other side of the blade, the second mouth is formed. And when I say what I hear, I'll see what I say. Come on, when I say it after I've heard it, I'm gonna see it because God said it. So you say it. You've got to say, when my son was on drugs for 7 years and God told me to stop telling him in prayer how bad things were, but to start confessing every day that my son was a man of God, start prophesying his destiny. And when I saw him talk about where he was supposed to be, not where he was, God always comes down to where we are, but only to lift us up to where we should be. So only 5 or 6 weeks after talking to my son that way, God delivered him from 7 years of drugs and turned him to a mighty man of God. It was an amazing thing. So Ezekiel's prophesying. So he began to prophesy, and verse 7 says, as I began to prophesy, there was a noise. So listen, noise is the sign of change and life. Almost every transformation begins with a bang, and sometimes it's confusing. Everybody that's ever had a child knows this. The thing you wait for when that baby comes into this world is to hear it cry. Don't be afraid when you start prophesying things that some chaotic noise comes out of family members or circumstances. You keep prophesying. There was a noise, and then what? There was suddenly a rattling and the bones came together. God's gonna connect you with the right people. He's gonna connect you in the right place, the right vocation, the right ministry, the right partners, the right vision. Indeed, as I prophesied, I looked, sinews and flesh came upon these bones and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, verse 9, prophesy to the breath, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. I prophesy your coming into destiny. You're coming out of every delaying, discouraging tactic of the enemy. You shall know that I am the Lord when I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord God, have spoken it. While I'm prophesying this, God's releasing more land, physical land, to planet shakers, churches, and ministries in the name of Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for land. So Ezekiel starts prophesying, and all this tremendous motion starts happening. Now, the Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was up without form and void, and darkness hovered over the face of it. And the Lord said, doesn't say the Lord thought. Of course, he thought it. God created the universe by his word. He governs his creation by his word. And in his image, mankind releases the dominion of God, the will of God, the kingdom of God by our words. Your words matter. The things you're saying today will be the life you live tomorrow. When you say the wrong things today, you'll experience the wrong things tomorrow. Every day we're prophesying our future. Whether you believe in prophecy or not, you're doing it by what you're saying. In Genesis chapter 2, God made all the animals after he created Adam. And then God stood back and pushed Adam forward. Adam's connected to God. His consciousness is in perfect alignment with God. He's in the image of God. So the animals come, and here comes an animal, and Adam looks at it and says, I know what that is. That's an elephant. And God says, Adam, son, that's perfect. That's what I would have called it. And Adam correctly identified things because he was living in a correct identity. What happens in sin, that when we live in a broken fellowship with God, we wrongly label and identify and name the things in our life. And the Bible says that God called the animals what Adam called them. See, in your world, God can only do what you've released by your words for him to do. God can't bless something until you stop cursing it. God can't bless something until you stop cursing it. In Phoenix, where we live, it's hot in the summer. It's 110 degrees this week, Fahrenheit. And that's why I'm really enjoying the winter here. I know you don't like the rain, but it only rains 6 inches a year in Phoenix. So I'm saying, Lord, let it rain the whole time I'm in Australia. And so when I first started our church in 31 years ago, the pastors in the region came and were talking. They said, hey, Pastor Mike, in the summertime, everybody just leaves Phoenix. Your attendance will drop. Your finances will drop. Your ministry effectiveness will drop. That's just a reality that happens in the behavior of the culture. And so I said, okay, well, I'll get used to it, I guess. And a few days later, the Lord said to me, it doesn't have to be that way. And so 31 years ago, I started calling our summers in Arizona Summer of Miracles. And for 31 years, we've grown every summer. We've had our best miracles, our best finance, our best breakthroughs, our best outreaches every summer for 31 years. Why? Because when we see what other people can't see, we can do what other people can't do. And God wants us to have a new clarity, a heavenly perspective, a reorientation about seeing people and places the right way. Amen. Seeing people the way he sees them, then declaring his voice and his will into those people's lives. That's what God's called us to do. So now we're going to have some fun. I need 40 of the most handsome and beautiful people in the church to come and help me in an illustrated sermon. So I need the top 40 here. Okay. Even if you're not in that classification, please come and help me. I need 40 volunteers to come. Yeah, just come up on the stage. Beautiful. Keep coming, keep coming. Someone count them for me. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you. Looking good. Looking good. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Beautiful. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Wonderful. How are we doing? How many is that? That's great. We got 34. So they're going to help me dramatize this little message this morning. And when we do, we're going to have fun with it. But I want you to connect to what God's going to be saying to you. There's something in your world God's ready to resurrect. There's something in the orbit of your experience where God's put you. See, stop asking God to take you away from the very place he's called you to transform. You with me? We all want the perfect family, the perfect job, the perfect thing. But often, in the providence of God, God puts us in dry places, not to punish us, but to use us to transform that place. Amen? So listen, stop asking God to put you in a better place and start believing God to make the place you're at better. I like how that sounded. So here's what we're going to do. You guys, come forward a little bit so I can see you. So this is going to be fun. You're not going to expect this, but you're going to love this. I need everybody from way up here all the way back, I need you to find some ground space and lay down on the ground, okay? So, yeah, I got tons of space up front there too. Yeah, just push in there and thank you. So they're representing this morning, Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones, okay? So that's them. So pretend like you can't move. So God takes Ezekiel and he walks him through and shows him how bad it is. But listen to me. A whole generation lost the opportunity of destiny because a bunch of so-called prophetic teachers told us the world's going to hell. Christ is coming back tomorrow. Don't worry about changing anything. Just keep your suitcase packed. We're going out. And a whole generation of believers, unplugged from destiny, did not accept the responsibility or the assignment of being a change agent in their generation, a transformational ambassador of the kingdom because of bad theology. So listen to me. The devil doesn't win. The devil is defeated. The only place he rules in this world is by deception and not by authority. And it's time for the church to really believe that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord and he's empowered us to bring a message of love, a message of life, a message of healing, a message of restoration. So the Lord said, okay, I'm going to make dead things live. And Ezekiel said, live! And the first thing that happened was noise. And so everyone on the stage, use your hands and feet and start pounding the ground, okay, making noise. Everybody say with me, noise is good. Okay, it's good. Have you ever prayed for someone and they started acting worse than before you prayed for them? Noise is good. Don't let the devil steal your prophetic inheritance just because there's some noise happening. Noise is good. So then there was a shaking, a rattling. And the bones started attaching. And I said this earlier. In Christ's name, in the name of Jesus, I declare that by divine providence, God's bringing into your life the right people are coming. The wrong people are exiting. And miracles are going to happen in this next season. Okay. So bones came together. Muscles. Then skin. And so they all stood up. So everybody stand up now. But you're still not alive, so don't move. Okay? So now I want to talk about what God's using. So you're alive, but don't move. You're not really alive. You're just a structure. So God's using planet shakers to model what the end time church is supposed to look like. Now, this is important because the Western church is overbalanced in its emphasis on church structure and order. We have structure, everything's perfectly by concept and program, perfectly represented. So we have, listen, I'm for structure. I praise God for all the genius that's being poured out into the operation of church behavior. It's wonderful. But when you have structure and no spirit, you do not have the church that Jesus died to form in the earth. You have a shell that's empty. In these 14 verses, the word spirit is used 10 times. It's the Hebrew word ruach. And ruach means spirit, breath, wind. It's a portrait of the Holy Spirit that comes as a wind, a breath, and the anointing. And then 7 times the word prophecy is used. What does that tell us? Wherever God's Spirit is moving, prophecy is flowing. And so something's wrong when we have churches that don't prophesy and believers that don't prophesy and generations that don't allow the Holy Spirit to move. In the same way, prophecy releases. God could not resurrect those dry bones until he found an earthly partner to give voice to his heavenly purpose. And Ezekiel said, live. So get ready, you're about to come alive, okay? So he said, prophesy to the four winds, a portrait of God's omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. He said, breath come into these. So now you're alive. Breath to you, dry bones. So jump up and down, move your hands. You're living now. Yeah, oh yeah, you're alive. Woo! So how many are grateful that Jesus Christ has made us alive? Amen. We all were living in shame, confusion, and disappointment. And the Spirit of God breathed on us and animated us. And we have been regenerated by the washing, renewing of the Spirit, Titus says. That's so wonderful. But what's almost missed is this. God did not save you out of something. He saved you out of something to bring you into something. You're saved from something, but you're saved for something. And then the Lord said to Ezekiel, these dry bones are going to become a great army. And what God's going to use planet shakers for is to be a heavenly anointed invading army to transform cities, regions, and nations with the power of God's kingdom, the love of our Savior, the grace of the cross, the anointing of the Spirit. Come on. We're difference makers. We're world shakers. We're history makers. We're planet shakers. That's what you're called to do. And so you're an army. That means we have assignment. That means we have purpose. You're alive for a purpose. You with me? See what I woke up early this morning. Here's what I prayed. I said, Lord, Michael Maiden reporting for duty. Let's rock this city. What do you want to do? Just show me. So you guys are turning to an army now. So get into attention. Everybody on the stage. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look at those soldiers. Beautiful. Beautiful. So what God's doing in your life now, he's very glad you're saved. But when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God said, now go into Canaan and conquer my enemies and take back what the enemy stole and go into your inheritance. God has an inheritance for you, but it always will involve conquering enemies he wants you to defeat. Okay, so these soldiers, I'm going to ask them, I'm going to count to three in just a moment. I want to ask them to give a huge war cry, a shout like a soldier taking a city, like Joshua's army taking Jericho, the walls coming down. They're going to shout. While they're shouting, if you say, man, I'm signing up for this. Holy Spirit, use me to prophesy. Use me to be a voice of your purpose on the earth. I'm ready to be a soldier of love. See, God's transforming the love boat to a battleship. Now, our nuclear weapon is love. We're not forsaking that, but we're recognizing most of the places in the earth where the enemy's advanced his territory has happened because of the apathy of the church. See, you just have to tell the devil, you can't have my family. You have to tell the devil when the doctor says, there's someone here, you've been praying for someone in a coma. In the name of Jesus, I command that person to come out of a coma. Who is that? Wave your hand at me. You've been praying for someone who's in a medical coma. While we're speaking in this service, God's resurrecting someone out of a coma, I promise you. Would you just stand up? In the name of Jesus Christ, I loosen the power of God to your world, to your situation, and to the ones you prayed for. You're a miracle woman. You're about to see the miracle grace of God move in a way you've never seen before. We send God's word from this place to those in need and command life to overtake death in the name of Christ. Amen. So, you guys ready to shout? Okay. Here we go. God, honor this moment and release something from your spirit. Ready? One, two, three. Let's go. Someone shout like a soldier in the army of God. Yes! Yes! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, everyone here, let's let the Holy Spirit use us right now to say something God wants to do in our family, our world, our workplace, our school, wherever it is. God, what do you want to do? Who do you want to heal? Who are you ready to save? So thank you, Holy Spirit. Breathe into us revelation and breathe out of us prophecy.
Hey, the main thing about today's message is this. God wants you to be alerted, awakened, and stirred to be a person flowing in the gift of prophecy. Don't over-spiritualize it. Don't just let the Holy Spirit awaken inside of you things He wants to say. Once you say it, God can do it. Revelation comes to you so prophecy can flow through you. I can't wait to see what God's going to do through your life. God bless.